This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, very good Tuesday morning to you. Thanks for joining us in this Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio. I'm Tony D alongside Ron Culver. We got you for the next 3 hours. Coming up, we're going to talk about the big day in the NFL, especially for one franchise, as it is franchise tag day. You got a couple of days to figure this out, but it could start today if you're an organization that is kind of up in the air and you're working out a long-term deal with whatever player you want to talk to. Who do you franchise? Why do you franchise? And what could happen if you make the wrong choice? And there's one team in particular that everybody is focusing on, at least for the next couple of days, and that is the Baltimore Ravens. We've got that coming up for you. One quarterback went to go to New York, and everybody seems to be buzzing and excited about Derek Carr and what he could bring to the Jets. Is that an answer to a Jets problem, which is trying to get not just to the upper echelon of the AFC? They want to get into some relevance in the AFC. Forget being one of the elite teams. They just want to be one of the teams that is just hanging around towards the postseason. And of course, spring training is underway as the final group of players are checking in both Arizona and Florida today. Teams had full squads report yesterday. The rest are reporting today, and now we will have spring training underway. And just a reminder, if you are into this thing, the World Baseball Classic, those players checked in way before so they could get ready for this sort of midwinter tournament. But I want to start with the NBA because they just got done the All-Star game. And you know what? I always say give something 24 hours and it could really stew and it could really bubble to the surface. And so we had that happen with the All-Star game in Salt Lake City over the weekend. It was an effortless event, which accumulated with Team Giannis winning over Team LeBron in some ridiculous non-defensive game, which is not the All-Star game in and of itself. Nobody's really complaining about that. No one is really saying, you know, I really wish I saw more defense in the All-Star game. We've never seen defense in the All-Star game. We've seen games more competitive. We've seen some level of pride in your Western Conference, Eastern Conference days. But we've never really seen defense. So the idea that this is bubbling because it was a lackadaisical effort defensively is not the problem. What is the problem is people are saying that the game in and of itself is just a layup drill. It's just really a non-competitive exhibition that doesn't really mean anything. Well, that's what an All-Star game is. And so people are trying to figure out what kind of juice they can put into these games to make it more exciting. Now, if you're TNT, this is a concern. You pay good money for the NBA package, but that package also includes the All-Star game and all of the festivities around it. You can only do so many Post Malone concerts before you actually are selling the game, right? You can bring the celebrities, you can bring the halftime performances, pregame performances. You can do a lot of the glitz and glamour, but in the end, what you're selling the most is the actual game. And if people feel like, even if they're an NBA fan, that's not really worth their time, then you have a problem. But there's only so much the NBA can do because the players really, in the end, have a lot of power. And especially in these All-Star games where it's not mandatory that they show up and be a part of it. So we talked about this yesterday. Giannis said something that I really loved was that he never wants to take an All-Star game for granted. LeBron James has been in 19 of them. He basically echoed the same sentiment that every time you get invited to be a part of the All-Star game, you need to go to the All-Star game. You need to make an appearance. Because it's a very, very limited class. We are talking about 400 of the best basketball players on the planet. And if you are one of the select few of the best basketball players on the planet that are in the NBA, to be part of the All-Star game, you go to the All-Star game. If you don't play because a wrist hurts or something is ailing, that's fine. But you go and you make an appearance. And as I was talking about yesterday, I was really happy that Giannis decided that, hey, I may be going with this injured sprained wrist, but I'm going to go play even for 20 seconds. I'm going to be in the game for at least 20 seconds. And so he got the ball. They let him score. He commits a foul. That allows the whistle to blow, and he gets to be substituted out, and he doesn't play again. But the reality of it is there's nothing you can do to make this game competitive. And really, in all respect, there's nothing you can do to make All-Star games any competitive. You can't entice people with money. I mean, they're already one of the richest paid out. What are you going to give them to make them more competitive and a chance to get hurt or injured in an All-Star game? But the All-Star game is a problem for the NBA because, again, it doesn't look like anything you've seen as far as basketball goes. It's really not basketball. It's just guys shooting the – it's almost like when you go to a game and you see a team warm up, right? And so sometimes a coach may say, we're not just doing shoot around, but if you wouldn't mind, some of you players shoot the ball, and some of you just sort of act like defenders, just kind of get in their face a little bit, just to, sometimes you'll see that. Rather than a bunch of players just shooting baskets, the coach might have five or six players shooting baskets, and the other five or six just act as defenders, you know, just to be a body in the way. And then they rotate that. That's what that looked like, right? We're just going to shoot from half court. We're going to shoot from 5 feet off the line. We're going to go for a layup and no one's going to stop us. And there's just going to be bodies hanging around. Now, if you're looking at an All-Star game and you're saying, look, in the end, it's Damian Lillard hitting half-court shots. It's LeBron James driving the lane. It's Luka Doncic with a baseline jumper. It's Nikola Jokic dishing the ball and maybe even spinning in the lane to make a shot. Then that's what the All-Star game is. It's like in baseball. You know, I might want to see Justin Verlander throw to Bryce Harper. I don't care what the result is. It could be a strikeout. It could be a home run. It could be a base hit. It could be a flyout. In the end, isn't that what that is? Isn't that what the All-Star game is? Seeing the best players doing the best things. Now, baseball is a little different because what Justin Verlander wants to do on the mound in an All-Star game, or Shohei Ohtani on the mound in an All-Star game, is display his skill. And the batters, they want to display their skill. So you actually have almost sort of an unforced competition in an All-Star game because you don't need to force it. If what I do best is pitch a baseball and what you do best is hit a baseball, well, then let's go at it. Let's do that. Because there's no contact involved. Right? I may be a great wide receiver and you may be a great defensive back and we go to the Pro Bowl. But in a real game, you might be utilizing tactics, and I may be utilizing tactics that are different than if we're just at a Pro Bowl. The NFL has always had this problem. It's always been an uneasy relationship with its players and its all-star component. How much do I really put out for this? NHL, sort of the same thing, but even in the NHL, because there's no defense in front of the goalies are always like sitting ducks, so they've like reduced the amount of players on the ice. They've tried all sorts of different combinations to make the All-Star game somewhat spectacular, because the old All-Star games used to be like 13 to 12 and things like that. But the NBA has always been a high-scoring affair, has always been a lack of defense. Guys really don't want to leave the All-Star game hurt because there's a stretch run. LeBron James, for example, said that the stretch run is the most – this is the most important stretch run of his career. And probably so, because he's ever been in trouble of making the playoffs. Right? He always gets the teams he's on to the postseason. I think he used to get his teams to the finals all the time. But now he's on the outside looking up at Oklahoma City. And that's different. So I don't know what the answer is to this. It goes back to another problem the NBA has, which is load management. Now, we talked about this as well, where you want to go see the stars, especially when they're coming on the road, right, where you don't get a chance to see them. So like I said, I live in Nashville, for example. I have two places I can go to take my daughter to an NBA game. She loves the NBA. I can go to Memphis about 3 hours away. I can go to Atlanta about 4 hours away. So I can make a weekend of it, right? And I go, let's all go to Atlanta. We can go to the Coca-Cola Museum or whatever, and let's go see the Hawks play Golden State. But what if we get to the game and Steph Curry isn't playing and Klay Thompson isn't playing and they're taking the night off because it's the fifth game of a 9-game trip or whatever it is and they're exhausted, right? Well, I'm out the money. But in the end, the NBA gave me a product. They didn't promise me stars. They promised me an NBA game and I got an NBA game. So I have nothing to complain about. Now, this is more or less an argument on if I'm paying for television and I'm getting NBA rights, I better make sure the stars are on the television on the games I need them to be on television. But in load management, it goes back to what I was saying about what LeBron was saying about the fact that he's in the stretch run, one of the toughest stretch runs, the most important stretch run of his career. What is the ultimate goal of all this? Well, the ultimate goal of all this is to win a title. And if in the end, taking nights off helps you win a title, how in the world can you blame organizations for this? It goes, if you're an athlete and you know that in the end you have this super competitiveness in you, that you want to be out there all the time and you never want to take it for granted, then, and that's built in you, you'll just play. But if you also know through experience that the postseason can be kind of a grind, same team every night for a 7-game series, you got to go through them and then another 7-game series and then another 7-game series. If you're loading yourself up to make that run in the postseason, how do I convince you to play on a Tuesday night in Salt Lake City on a back-to-back? I can't go at you with you should just play to play if you're not playing because you know that the stretch run will be hard and you need every ounce of energy you can and everybody healthy to do it. The NBA's got problems I don't think they can fix.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, hit me up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Hit Ron up on Twitter at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Did you enjoy PA announcing for your son's baseball game last night?
I did.
I always love doing that. I don't do it very often, but it's always fun to do.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying not to be a distraction. So, yeah. People were like, oh, are you going to be like, Bob Uecker? And I was like, no, I'm not announcing. I'm not commentating on the game. I'm just letting the people know who's coming up to bat because, they don't know what their kid looks like.
Yeah, I've had this issue before because I do play-by-play of, football games. And when I tell people that I'm going to whatever game, I'm going to Greenbrier to call the Creekwood Greenbrier game. And they'll go, they think I'm PA announcing.
Yeah.
And I go, no, I'm on the radio calling the action. So, somebody said, oh, I'd love to hear you. I should go to the game and hear you. And I go, no, you can't. I was like, I'm not PA announcing.
Can't they? I mean, yeah. You can bring a transistor radio.
You can bring the radio if you'd like. You can bring your Walkman and dial it up.
That's right. Get the wire headphones that if you bend once, exactly, they're ruined forever.
Right, exactly. So I'm like,
all right. That used to be a real thing at Dodger Stadium.
Those with the headphones?
Just everyone wore headphones.
Yeah.
Because everyone
yeah.
wanted to hear Vince Scully call the game while they were sitting at the game live.
I've seen those people. I was at a Gamecocks football game once, and they were selling these earpieces that were tuned into the broadcast in the stadium. And I thought that was really cool. I didn't have to bring my own if I wanted to do it. Yeah, those are neat. Yeah, I would love to have done that back in the day with Vince Scully.
I'll never forget it because, you go to a game, you're there for the atmosphere, the noise, the ambiance, everything that's going on, and you would see all these men just headphones on.
Yep.
And
listening to Scully call a game.
And couldn't blame them.
No, why not? Yeah.
It was fun.
Plus you get the information that you don't get when you sit in the stands. You can get as much averages and stuff like that, but there's little stories and things like that you want to add
to
it. Yeah. So, all right, big day in the NFL today. It's franchise day, franchise tag day. Now, this is not necessarily meaning that it's the franchise deadline. It just means that it is now open. It's the first day you can franchise a player. So you couldn't do it yesterday, but you could do it today. You can also do it tomorrow, next week, whatever. But the big question is, what are the Baltimore Ravens going to do with Lamar Jackson? Now, this is being argued not just a big day for the Ravens, but a big day for the NFL. Because if you know Jackson's story, he's negotiating without an agent. He's negotiating himself. Two, he's a former MVP, and he makes the Ravens a playoff team, if not a Super Bowl-level team. And three, it's coming off Deshaun Watson getting a huge guaranteed deal with the Cleveland Browns that many people in the NFL were afraid was going to set the new market. And this is sort of the first real push onto that expectation after Lamar Jackson got, $235 guaranteed,
Lamar Jackson wants an equivalent deal. He missed the final six games of the season, including the playoffs, and there was a lot of controversy around that. Was he healthy? Was he able to play? And he didn't play because he knew he was going into a contract-level year. And there's all sorts of accusations that get thrown, and they get thrown to athletes around this time when they are up for a big contract and they're not playing due to an injury. That was natural. But there's a couple of things here, is that there's two levels that can be given to Lamar Jackson on this deal. One, he could be on the exclusive franchise tag. That would be in the excess of $45 million next year. Now, let's just say he plays on the tag. No one thinks he will, but let's just say he plays on these tags. If he plays on the exclusive franchise tag, he'll make $45 million, but he won't have anything next year. Like, there's nothing guaranteed other than the money. Like, there is nothing forward. So he'll be left out. If he gets really hurt, he's done. So this is why you don't play on tags. But just for the sake of argument and to bring you some numbers, let's just say he does. So $45 million on the exclusive tag. But if the Ravens want to save some money, they could put him on the non-exclusive tag. That would pay him $32.4 million. But here's the caveat. If they tag him to the non-exclusive tag, it does save them money. They don't have to pay him $45 million, which is a pretty good hit on the cap. But what it does do is it allows other teams to negotiate with Lamar Jackson and offer him deals that the Ravens would then have to match if they wanted to keep him. So a team could come in, they could make an offer to Jackson of X amount of years, X amount of dollars, X amount of it guaranteed. If he's happy with that, he can agree to play for that team, and then that team would give the Ravens two first-round picks as compensation. And believe me, there are plenty of teams that would be willing to do just that. So the Ravens have a big decision to make here. Do they put him on the non-exclusive tag and hope that they can work out a deal this summer? Or do they put him on the $45 million tag, the exclusive tag, and hope that they can work out a deal this summer? The non-exclusive tag, just the non-exclusive tag, is the 10th largest cap hit in the NFL. The exclusive tag, if they pay him $45 million on the exclusive tag, Lamar Jackson is only behind Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, and Patrick Mahomes in terms of what they will make in the 2023 season. So as you can see, it's a very, very big deal, not only for the Ravens, but for the NFL. But it leads me to a larger question is this. Do you think Lamar Jackson is doing something on a larger principle other than himself? That's my question. Because
I mean, is he doing it for the greater good?
Yeah, because the NFL owners could get away with the Browns are crazy. That's ridiculous. $54 million, $230-something guaranteed. Let the Browns do stupid Brown stuff. We're never going down that road with our other quarterbacks. Everybody else is going to get paid well, but not that's insane. I mentioned the Alex Rodriguez contract back in the 90s when Alex Rodriguez signed for $25 million a year. It took a while before somebody else reached that level. It didn't happen overnight. There was sort of that outlier like, well, yeah, the Rangers did something ridiculous, right? They paid him $25 million a year. That's stupid. Everyone else was sort of hovering in another ballpark, right? Another area. Lamar Jackson could be the quarterback that says, I'm sorry, but the new standard is this. The new standard is now X amount of dollars, this, and all of it guaranteed. Whatever that is, right? 3 years, $150 million, 3 years, $120 million, doesn't matter. Whatever the deal is. But it's all guaranteed. You gave it, one owner gave it to a guy that plays my position, and now I want it, and now every player that follows me should want it. Is Lamar Jackson doing this on a larger thing? Meaning, I'm going to fight for everybody else and every other quarterback at this position going forward. I'm a young man. I might even have another contract coming in my 30s that might help me out, where I may not get paid as much because of my age, but at least I'm setting the standard now that all quarterback money, at least, maybe not all player money, but all quarterback money is now all guaranteed. Or is he looking for whatever Lamar Jackson wants to get in terms of a deal? Just whatever it means is whatever it means. But in the end, I'm doing it for myself. Remember, he's going at this all by himself. There's no agency behind him. So he's fighting the battle alone. Now, I'm sure he's getting advice from whatever, but he's fighting the battle alone. It's a really big development. Because, again, the benefit of being a quarterback at the NFL, a star MVP quarterback in the NFL, is you can walk into a room, you can walk into a building, you can walk in a city, you can walk in a state, you can walk in a country, and very, very few people are you. That's what makes it so unique. We talk about being irreplaceable. That's as close to being irreplaceable as you can get, being an elite quarterback in the NFL. My other question is this, and I'd love to get a little bit more detailed answer. Todd Monken, who was hired from Georgia to become the offensive coordinator of the Ravens, why did he take the job? Did he take the job just to get back in the NFL? He had been in the league with Cleveland and Tampa before. That's fine. If he's like, I don't care who the quarterback is. It could be Lamar Jackson. It could be anybody else. I don't care. I just did some great things at Georgia, and I want to be one of 32 offensive coordinators in the NFL. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. If that's the only reason and that's simple enough, then I'm done. Did Monken walk in there going, there's a very good chance that I might not be working with Lamar Jackson, and I'd like to build an offense with John Harbaugh. I'd like to see what new quarterback we're going to bring in, a new offensive scheme that we're going to put in. Because remember, the entire offensive scheme for the Ravens is built around Lamar Jackson. Did Todd Monken get hired, or was the job appealing to him outside of just getting into the NFL because he's saying, hey, you know what? I want to build something new. Or did he have a feeling like, no, Lamar Jackson being on this team is the main reason I came here. I took this job in particular because this is what I want. All right, coming up next, staying in the NFL. Should you be excited if you're in New York about a brand new car? We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. So again, as I mentioned earlier, big day in the NFL in terms of, I wouldn't say big day. It just starts, who knows what's going to happen down the road. I mean, look, there are other players that are being tossed about in the franchise tag equation. The Giants have two particular players, Saquon Barkley and Daniel Jones, that they're toying with. There's talks about Geno Smith being franchise tagged in Seattle if they can't work out a deal. But that's all that is. I mean, in the end, that's really all that is, right, is the inability. I kind of look at it as you're putting like duct tape on a leak before you can get the plumber to come in and actually fix the problem, if that makes sense. What you're doing is you're saying, look, you're up for free agency. We're not quite ready to let you go in free agency. We still want the option of working out a long-term deal. So if you don't mind, we're just going to do this, and then you and I will spend the next couple months talking about where we're going. Because what happens when franchise tag players get to camp, right? Do they show up to camp all excited? Do they show up to camp like, I'm ready to work, coach. Got that franchise tag and I'm ready to do this. Normally, when a player is franchise tagged and camp opens up, it's usually, yeah, where is Mike? Yeah, we know where Mike is. Mike's not coming. Right? That's basically how that works. Because they want the long-term deal. Nobody plays on a franchise tag. Good Lord. It's so petrifyingly dangerous for your career. And we were talking about this yesterday, right? Like, we were kind of bringing this up with LIV Golf. If you have an opportunity, if you've been gifted the ability to be a professional athlete, it's not about money. Like, I want to buy a new couch or a new TV or a house. It's generational money. It's my great-great-grandkids go to college all the time, and they have money. There's money flowing down for the rest of my family. And so if you're a quarterback in the NFL, especially one that's won an MVP and is one of the better quarterbacks in the game, you want legacy money. So $45 million with nothing on the back end, he's not going to play on that. Uh-uh. And if they sign him to the non-exclusive tag, that means somebody can come in and offer him. And would you give up 2 first-round draft picks for Lamar Jackson if you were a crappy team in need of a quarterback? Heck yeah, you would. Yes, you would. He makes your team instantly better. Now, he's not Patrick Mahomes, right? You can make the argument that maybe your team is still going to struggle against the Bengals, but it would put you in the conversation. And you absolutely, absolutely would. No problem. And that brings me to Derek Carr. Because Derek Carr is a free agent, like a real free agent. Like not somebody that's got a tag next to him, not somebody that your team has to sacrifice picks for. That's all done. He is free and clear. And when was the last time we had a legit quarterback, free and clear, being able to go around and decide who he wants to do? Tom Brady? That's about it.
Yeah, but he didn't do it.
Right?
No,
he didn't do the tour.
Yeah, with Brady, it was Tennessee.
Well, he couldn't do the tour because we were in COVID.
That's true,
so,
yeah.
So maybe he would have done the tour.
Yeah, because he certainly would have been wined and dined, right?
Yeah, he would have been wined and dined. So he goes to the Jets, and he loves the Jets, right? The brother, David Carr, is like, hey, great, loves the Jets. Yeah, he's going to love wherever he goes. He's not going to come. There's whenever these guys do these tours, they never go, whoa, that was awful. Whew, I'm getting out of town now quickly as possible. They all say the right things. But Jets fans are now starting to get a little excited about the possibility of Derek Carr coming, which is a little odd because the stage is set, is it not, for Aaron Rodgers to get there. Look at what the Jets have done. Look what the Jets are in position to do. So there's conversations that Aaron Rodgers is and Green Bay are having a problem, right? Like the word that was described was by Bob McGinn was disgusted. I don't know why he used that term, but he did use that term. So there's a rumor that they're really on the outs. So the Packers hold the cards here. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a free agent. He's either going to play for them or he's going to be sent to a team where they're going to say, Aaron, we want to send you to this team. We'll work this out. The Jets they've got two things working in their favor for a deal with Aaron Rodgers, to convince Aaron Rodgers that, yes, you should agree to come to the Jets. One, for the Packers, it's in the AFC. You're not trading Aaron Rodgers to any NFC team. Two, Nathaniel Hackett is on Robert Saleh's staff. So you've got a guy that has great relationships with Aaron Rodgers. It's the main reason the Denver Broncos hired him as a head coach. Believe that. That's the reason why Nathaniel Hackett was the Broncos. You know why? Because if Nathaniel Hackett, I swear, I really believe this. I know some of you are going to think I'm crazy, but I really believe this. If Nathaniel Hackett was absolutely not hired by Denver to be the guy that lured in Aaron Rodgers, then he would still be he'd still be the coach today. They would have said, you know what? First year was terrible, but we're not going to just pay you to go away. We're going to see if you could work this out in year two. They bring him in to lure Aaron Rodgers, and when he couldn't lure Aaron Rodgers, or they didn't lure Aaron Rodgers, he became a very, very expensive mistake. And the new ownership came in and went, well, why is he here? Well, we didn't get him, right? No, we got Russell Wilson instead. Well, what do we need him for now? We want to pick our guy. But if he was hired on merit, like real merit, like it didn't matter, I think he would still be he'd be on a very, very short leash. He'd probably have been fired some point in year two. But coaches don't get fired after 1 year. Coaches don't get let go before the year is up. It's a very, very expensive mistake. So that being said, the Jets bring in Nathaniel Hackett to work their offense, I think under the same belief. right? That's not to say Nathaniel Hackett's not a good offensive coordinator or can't add something to the Jets, but when you can bring in one of the elite quarterbacks in the NFL, that's one of the reasons you're going to get hired. And that's one of the reasons people in New York think they did that deal. Now, could he work with Derek Carr if indeed it works out that Derek Carr is, of course, but we'll see. We know he can work with Aaron Rodgers, but we'll see. So to me, this is a really interesting situation. If you're the Jets, what do you do? What do you do?
Or who do you want?
Yeah,
right. Because I mean, because the idea of Hackett going to the Jets was to bring a certain other player over.
Right. So if you what do you do if you are New York, right? Because Aaron Rodgers, there's no movement yet. And Derek Carr went to visit the Saints.
Is he out of the dark?
Right? Is he out of the dark yet? We're going to have to ask Pat McAfee. Pat McAfee becoming his spokesman now. What do you you got to make a move, right? You can't not get left out of this quarterback shuffle. Derek Carr is going to go to other teams. The Saints, who aren't in the running for Aaron Rodgers, because there's no way they're going to be able to convince the Green Bay Packers to send him there. They might just go to Derek Carr. Here's the deal. We'll offer you a little more than what the Jets are giving you, or we'll offer you whatever. We want you here. We want you here now. We want to get started right away. You're our guy. We're not going to wait around for somebody else. We're not hoping for somebody else to come out of a cave and say they'll agree to it. Nope. You're the guy. You're the most important person right now. We're looking at the one we want. We're not waiting for Lisa to pass us back the note that says she'll go to the prom with us. You're the person we want to go to the prom with. That's a big deal. That's a big deal when you're negotiating not only money, contracts, you're dealing with a little ego and whatnot. All right now, Derek Carr is coming off back-to-back seasons where he threw 14 interceptions. Right, and the Raiders were deciding that even after nine seasons, it's time to get a fresh new look at quarterback. Aaron Rodgers is going to give you, what, 2 years at the most? I mean, let's be honest here. You're not going to sign Aaron Rodgers to a five-year deal here, are you? If you are, you're just giving money away. So if you are the Jets, you could get Aaron Rodgers, and you can get Aaron Rodgers for a two-year push to try to become relevant in the AFC. Or you can get a 31-year-old Derek Carr, and maybe 5 years, in a five-year span, you might be able to do something. But the problem is, Derek Carr, you've got a problem in the AFC that we've been talking about for a long time. You're going to put Derek Carr? He already was in the AFC, and we didn't put him on that upper echelon level, right? We gave him Devontae Adams and we didn't put him on the upper echelon level. What makes it all of a sudden that he goes to the Jets, staying in the conference, and now he's going to be able to take a team to the level that Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen are taking their teams? He couldn't do it with the Raiders in the same conference with better players. I don't think I'd be that excited about Derek Carr.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue on SportsNap Radio. Did you know that Deshaun Watson's contract is going to be like $54.8 million? That's the salary cap hit. it's so Browns. It's actually 54.9, so I actually gave him a little bit of a break. Here's the actual number, just to give you the actual number. So this is their cap hit for this year through 2026. $54,993,000.
So 55.
Yeah, basically 55.
And all that, he received that before he even took a snap.
Before he even took a snap. 230 guaranteed.
And in the middle of a huge scandal.
Why wouldn't Lamar Jackson go, all right, listen, this is what I might not get $54 million, but I want 230 guaranteed, or I want 210 guaranteed, or I want 190 guaranteed.
I want it all guaranteed.
I just want it all guaranteed.
I mean,
why
can't I get the amount? Is if it's 180 million, 150
million. You
want to
sign me to a 3-year deal, 120 million? I want all of it guaranteed.
Oh yeah.
Sign me a 4-year deal, 150, all of it guaranteed. Whatever the number is. Pay me $40 million a year. Pay me $39 million a year. Pay me $41 million a year. Whatever it is, I want it all guaranteed. All of it. Sorry, you should have got to the Haslams before anybody else did. See what was what they were putting in their coffee when they created that deal. Because that was the weird thing, wasn't it? It wasn't – the Browns didn't have to do that. It goes back to Alex Rodriguez's $25 million a year deal. At the time that Alex Rodriguez got that, no one was paying anybody even close to that number per year, right? It was 10 years, $250 million. Remember that? And no one was giving contracts out that with that amount of money. No one. But here's what the Texas Rangers were thinking at the time. The Texas Rangers were thinking, you'll see this occasionally in these kind of deals. Well, you'll see like Fernando Tatis get like a $14 million deal for X amount of dollars. What they're saying is, look, it's a lot of money today, but with those skyrocketing contracts, it's a lot less money tomorrow. So that's what the Rangers were thinking. So the Rangers were like, we want Alex Rodriguez for 10 years. They ended up not keeping him for 10 years, but it's a deal. They go, we want to keep him for 10 years, and we think by year 6 or 7, we're getting the best player in baseball at an incredible bargain, the way salaries are going. So let's give it to him today so that we're giving him $25 million 5 years from now when everybody's making 26, 27, whatever. That was their thinking. It's the same thing, I think, with the Browns, is that they were going, well, in order to get Atlanta off our back and anybody else off our back, and to convince him to come to a very, very dysfunctional franchise, especially when it comes to the quarterback position, we're going to give him $230 guaranteed. And all their owners went, what are you doing? He's like, well, he wouldn't come here otherwise. The only way we could get him to come here is to give him this, to set the new standard. And the other owners are like, do you realize what you've just done? Like, it's okay for you to do it. Now you've got $55 million cap hit. But we don't want a $55 million cap hit at quarterback. And look what the Ravens are dealing with now. They're dealing with a player that's like, can I get a deal like that? And the Ravens are like, no. And like, oh really? Because I want a deal like that. And the Ravens are like, yeah, no. Well, we'll see what the two sides come up with. But like I was saying earlier, there's two things with this that makes it really interesting. Because if Lamar Jackson can squeeze out a guaranteed deal with any amount of money, it doesn't have to be 230. That's kind of crazy. But let's say it's 4 years, 165. I'm just throwing numbers out. Well, then every other team is like, well, shoot, two teams are doing this now. That's our new thing. All right, so let's get to the drawing. Let's start at the drawing board. Quarterbacks up for their guaranteed money. Let's sit down at the table, Daniel Jones. Right? All of a sudden now, quarterbacks that are now getting that money, getting that payday, getting their commitment, Jalen Hurts, maybe to a Tagovailoa, but I doubt he gets a long-term deal. Now all of a sudden you are talking about, well, the conversation starts and stops with guaranteed money. And any quarterback that doesn't take guaranteed money is going to hear about it, wouldn't they? Don't we talk about this all the time with other teams and players? When we say, players will say, I want to make a team-friendly deal, and they know they're going to hear about it from the union. When the union goes, oh, no, you're not. You're one of the top shortstops in baseball.
Yeah,
or you're one of the top linebackers in the NFL. You're not taking less money.
It's that story I always remember about Tony Gwynn.
Right.
You know, people hated him. His agent hated him. The players' union hated him because he always took less money.
Always took team-friendly deals. Yep. And then your union gets on you for that because you're one of the prime players to set the bar. You're supposed to be, if you're one of the elite players at whatever it is you do, you're supposed to be setting new bars on new negotiating deals. So if you're Lamar Jackson, let's say, and that's why you're kind of a test case for this, right? Because if you negotiate a deal with the Ravens that looks like any other deal that we've had prior to Deshaun Watson's, then you didn't take advantage of this opening and you're not helping the other players within the union rise up. Because it's a trickle-down effect. It's the idea is that it will be a trickle-down effect. So Lamar Jackson gets more money guaranteed, Ezekiel Elliott. Well, Tony Pollard gets more guaranteed. Saquon Barkley gets more guaranteed. I'm trying to think of Micah Parsons gets more guaranteed. You know what I mean? It's supposed to trickle down. Even if you're not playing quarterback, and even if you don't get it all guaranteed, it's supposed to trickle down so that other elite players at their position go, you know, the standard was this and this was guaranteed, but now I have a feeling like I can get this and a little bit more guaranteed. That's kind of the idea behind all of this. And this is why it's fascinating. Now, let's say Lamar Jackson goes, they go, we'll play you 4 years, 165, 130 guaranteed. And he goes, all right, that's still good. I'll take it. Well, we'll see what the reaction will be from people. That's why, again, if you are an owner in this league, you're looking at the Browns and the Haslams going, stupid. Now this is what I got to do.
Yep.
Look what I got to do now.
Fire them as owners.
Think about this. I mean, the Ravens could lose Lamar Jackson.
Because of this. Because of what the Browns did.
They could lose Lamar Jackson. They don't want to franchise him at $45 million.
No, but
he's not going to play on it, but he could.
Here's the other problem, though. Would he get a fully guaranteed contract somewhere else?
Well, that's the question.
Because, right? I mean, I think it's not just the Ravens owners who are upset about this. All the owners across the league were like, why would you fully guarantee a contract that large?
Right. Well,
and so, you look around, the Falcons desperately need a quarterback. Saints need a quarterback. I don't know if they would be willing to go fully guaranteed.
Great point. If Lamar Jackson can't get it from the Ravens, what makes him think he could get it from the Falcons?
Yeah.
Let's just use the Falcons as an example.
As soon as that comes out, too. As soon as the Ravens go, well, we're not doing a fully guaranteed contract. The rest of the league is going to go, hot damn, we're following their example.
You think Arthur Blank is going to jump in and go, yeah, I'll do it?
No.
He probably wasn't going to do it with Deshaun Watson. That's probably why the Browns did it, because they thought nobody else was going to do it. So when the Falcons had their interest up for Deshaun Watson, they were probably like, well, Arthur Blank ain't giving him 230 guaranteed. Right, we'll do it.
Then the Falcons were in the favorable position going, oh, no, we decided against him because of all the controversy.
Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, exactly. Great point. Now the moral ground.
We have morals now.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're at morals. You just don't have $230 million worth of morals. That's right. Now all of a sudden, yeah, they're a family-friendly franchise.
That's right. And look, we're lowering concessions once again.
God,
family.
That's so funny. That is so funny. Yeah. Sorry about that Deshaun Watson thing. Now Coke is 2 for $5. And our chicken sandwiches are $2. And everybody goes, yeah, look at this. Great. Concessions are so low here at the Falcons games.
They care about us. They care about family values.
That's right. If he signs that non-exclusive tag, though, I'll be really interested to see how many teams are jumping on this to talk to him. Say, all right, what's the sticking point?
Yeah, because that's all that's left for him, right?
Because if it's, right? So if they get him on the non-exclusive tag, it's like, what team wouldn't give up 2 first-round picks for Lamar Jackson? Because, I would do it in a heartbeat.
Would the Bears go, hey, you can have Fields and our first rounder?
Right?
Take them both? We don't need them?
If I was Atlanta, I would do that. I wouldn't even need permission to do it. I'd do it immediately. I wouldn't have to call the owner or anybody within the organization. I'd be like, we're doing this. Because here's our plan. Our plan is to give you a first-round pick that's terrible. But then our hope is that we go to the playoffs and make a nice run, and then the first-round pick is almost like a throwaway. Yeah, here. Take the 27th pick in the draft.
I can't see the Ravens wanting to part ways, though.
Yeah. The Ravens got some work to do. I know they're saying that they're 200% sure that he's... I don't know. We'll see in the next couple of days what exactly they do. All right. Good, the Bad, and the Dumb is coming up in hour number 2, and we will also buzz more about the NFL. And why I'm kind of excited about the NBA draft coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.